Let's go to Judges chapter 6, verse number 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat underneath the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizite, whose son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Gideon said, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in might of yours, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to them, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Now, the title of my message this night is Remember Who You Are. Now, this is one of my favorite subjects. Well, maybe my favorite subject to preach on, who you are in Christ. Because until you really understand who you are in Christ, you cannot live a victorious life. You know, I guess one of the greatest strategies that the enemy has, he doesn't try to tempt us to sin, but he tries to make us forget who God said we were. If he can get you to forget who you are, he can rob you of your blessings, your confidence, your joy, your faith, even your effectiveness in life. You know, people know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they've forgotten their identity in Christ. They're saved but defeated. They're blessed but walking around discouraged. They're called but intimidated. They're anointed but they're fearful. Now listen to this. The devil knows he cannot change what God has declared about you. You're who God said he were. But he's working overtime to convince you that you're something less than what God said you are. So the message tonight is to simply remind us of who we are, his people. Remember who you are. Okay. When fear tries to define you, remember who you are. Now, as we read the text, it introduced us to Gideon. Well, Israel was under great oppression from the Midianites. And anytime there was a harvest season or anytime that new livestock would come, they would come in and steal it all from them. And they lived in fear. They hid in caves. They hid in strongholds. And here Gideon was hiding in a wine press, getting some wheat so they could make some bread, because if the Midianites saw it, they'd come and steal it from him. And look here. Here comes a messenger from the Lord and says, "The Lord is with thee, mighty man of valor." That's strange. He didn't feel like a mighty man. He didn't look mighty. He wasn't even acting mighty. He was hiding. Yet God called him truly what he was. God was speaking of his identity rather than his condition. Come on now. See, God sees beyond where and who you think you are, and he speaks of who you are in him. You know, when fear comes, you're hiding. But God says you're mighty. Fear says you're weak. God says you're a warrior. Fear says you can't. God says you can. Too many believers allow circumstances to define them. You're not your struggle. You're not your failure, and you're not your fear. You are who God says you are. Now, there's a story, and I'm sure it's not true, but it illustrates my point. A lion cub was accidentally raised with sheep. It learned to bleat like a sheep. It learned to run from danger like a sheep. One day, an adult lion found the cub and dragged it to the river and got it to look at its reflection in the river. For the first time, it realized it wasn't a sheep. Nothing changed physically. What changed was his understanding of who he was. You know, many believers live beneath their privileges because they don't understand their spiritual identity. My dad used to say that all the time. He said, too many Christians are living below the level they should be living at. Anybody ever heard him say that? If you ever heard him preach once, you probably heard him say it. You see, when fear comes knocking at your door, remind yourself, I'm a child of God. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm called. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. Say it. Remember who you are. Well, I'm glad 15 of you said it anyway. Okay. Let's look at another thing that the enemy deals with us. That is, he tries to get us to feel inadequate. You need to remember who you are when feeling of inadequacies come around. You know, after God called Gideon, immediately, he began to give all the reasons why he wasn't able to do it. You know, in Judges 6:15 there, it says, my family is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I want you to notice Gideon focused on his background. He focused on his limitations. He focused on his weakness, his inadequacies. How often sometimes do we do the same thing? And we say, I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't have enough education. I'm not talented like so-and-so is. I'm not qualified. Do you know, he never asked you to qualify yourself. When you were born again, he qualified you. Hello now. God qualifies those he calls. You look in the Word of God, and you look at all of the people. Moses said, I'm inadequate, when God talked to him. Jeremiah, read the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah felt inadequate. David felt inadequate. Paul felt inadequate. But God used all of them. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Come on now. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. Actually, it seems that Paul is saying here, the power of God shines brightest when we, in our humanity, can't accomplish it. See, we focus too much on the natural sometimes, and of course the natural is important, and there is the natural. But we focus too much on the natural, and we don't focus enough on who we are in Christ. Our strength is in Christ. Our confidence is in Christ. Our ability is in Christ. Your sufficiency is in Christ. So what am I trying to say to you tonight? I'm trying to get you to remember who you are in Christ. Anytime you face any situation, anytime anything comes your way, you have to go back to who you are in Christ. In fact, learning who you are in Him will put you in a position to receive the blessing. You know, my dad taught faith, he taught love, he taught prayer. But he said, really, in fact, that's the basis for the authority of the believer. Until you understand who you are in Christ, you do not know how to have authority. In our natural world that we live in, wherever you're at, wherever you're working, whatever you're doing, until you understand who you are in that position and what your authority is in that position, you cannot function properly in that position. Hello? Now, I worked in the thing I did in the Army. I was in a comm center, and there was an officer and then a sergeant, or we worked with the Navy, a Navy chief. And they were there. And then I was the next one in line. If those two were not in that comm center, everything that happened in that comm center was on me. Come on now. You see, and many times I would wonder, I would begin to wonder, man, because certain type of messages come in, I can't say anything about it, but it's very, very sensitive, very delicate, and I wonder, well, hey, they're here. Where's the lieutenant? Where's the sergeant? But I'm there, and it has to be done. I can't focus on the fact that the two people that were over me are gone. They're not there. I have to focus on the fact I was trained. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how to do it. Now do it. Hello. See, that's where we need to get whenever we are facing situations. We need to learn who we are in Christ. Because we have studied it, we're trained, because we've studied the Word. So now it's up to us to make it happen. You see, you're not trying to do this alone. You couldn't if you wanted to. You don't have enough ability. But He has all ability. He has all strength. And the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us will help us in every situation that you find yourself in. All you got to do is remember who you are. Hello. I've used this illustration before, but it illustrates what I want to say. My daughter, Pastor Denise, you all know her. Well, when she's about 5 years old, four or five, she was running down the hall over in the administration building. That's a long time before this building was ever here, and a whole bunch of these others were ever here, too. I think at that time there was only two, that building on the corner and the one behind it, maybe. But anyway, somebody hollered, little girl, you can't run in the hall. Quit running. And she whirled around, and of course she gets this from her dad, said, do you know who I am? And spun around and took off running. Because she understood that her grandfather was the head of this thing. And she ran right in his office, ran right by the secretary, and ran right in, opened the door, and ran right into his office. Why? Because she understood who she was. When you study the Word of God and understand who you are, you can run right into the throne room of God and kneel right before God and say, here, Father, I'm here. I need something. Come on now. Hello. Remember who you are. Now, remember who you are because you belong to God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Peter says you're chosen. He says you're royal. He says you're holy. He says you belong to God. Those are identity statements. Now, the world tries to assign identities. Culture tries to tell you who you are. Social media wants to identify you. Past mistakes want to identify you. But God has already spoken. You belong to me. You're not forgotten. You're not overlooked. You're chosen. You know, another little illustration here. Many years ago, there was a wealthy man that owned a valuable watch that had been passed down through several generations of his family. And somehow, the watch got misplaced or somebody took it. But eventually, it ended up in a pawn shop. And he found out about it. You know, to everybody else, it was just another used watch sitting in the display case. They walked by it every day, didn't give it much thought. But when he discovered where it was, he immediately went and paid whatever the price was to get it back. Why? Because it was valuable and belonged to him. See, its value was not determined by where it was. It was determined by whose it was. In the same way, the enemy tries to convince us that we're worthless and forgotten and beyond hope. But God looks down and he says, you belong to me. He sent Jesus, his son, to deliver us and set us free. See, we belong to God. Now, here, I want to reiterate that 2:9 from the NLT. But you're not like that, for you are a chosen people. You're a royal priest. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, Peter is saying that we are a particularly chosen people, and we belong to God. He's trying to remind us of our identity, and it's not anything except through the ownership of the Lord Jesus Christ by us receiving salvation by the blood that he shed on Calvary. Now look at Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Now, the last part of that scripture, we can grab a hold of that. I realize the first part of that, he was talking to Israel himself, but that last part, we can grab ourselves. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I've called you by my name. You are mine. Those are powerful words. You are mine. You belong to God. The next time the enemy tries to remind you of your past or remind you of anything, remind him that you belong to God. And he has no rights or authority in your life. See, anytime anything happens, you got to remember who you are. All right? Now, let's look at something else. When you are attacked, remember who you are. See, the enemy understands identity. But now look at how he attacked Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew 4:3. If you are the Son of God, he is trying to get him to question if you are the Son of God. See, but the Father had already declared it when he was at the River Jordan. And the dove, which represents the Holy Spirit, descended and sat upon it. And with a loud voice, God said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." He identified him. You see, if the enemy attacks, and he comes in and he starts whispering in your ear. Now, think about a minute. Are you really saved? Do you really understand what all that means? Are you really saved? Does God really love you? If God really loves you, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Are you really blessed? Look what you don't have. His goal and what he's trying to do is to create in you doubt. But look at how Jesus responded when he said, "If you are." He responded with the Word of God. Hello? See, the Word settles the issue every time. So when the enemy comes at you with thoughts like that, he begins to say, if you were really what you say you are, you wouldn't be defeated. That's immediately your answer should be, I'm more than a conqueror. When he starts trying to show you that you're rejected, you can come back with the scripture. I'm accepted. I'm in the beloved. When he comes at you with all of that condemnation, there's therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. When you're alone, he said, look, see, everybody deserted you. You're out there all alone. You're just on your own. You can come back and quote the scripture. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. You see, the way to defeat the enemy is to know who you are in Christ and remember that whenever the situation, when the situation comes. There's many different situations that come at you, and that's when you've got to study and know who you are in Christ and then remember it. Now, you need to remember who you are so you can fulfill your purpose in life. When Gideon finally accepted the call, he tore down idols, he got an army, and he led them to victory. But none of that happened until he accepted who God said he was, not who he thought he was. He had to accept the fact that he was a mighty warrior. He had to accept that fact. Now, purpose follows identity. When you know who you are, you can do what God has asked you to do. Many people spend their entire life trying to discover who they are and never get to their purpose because they never get their identity. Your identity comes first. You're a child of God. You got to learn to say it all the time. I'm a child of God. Get up every day and say, I'm a child of God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Come on. Are you there? You're awful quiet, but maybe you're listening. You know, you got to tell the enemy, hey, I know who I am. I'm redeemed. I'm empowered. See, from your identity will flow purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we're his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a purpose for all of us. God wants all of us to have a testimony. And we all have a kingdom assignment. You know what that is? Get people into the kingdom of God. Some people think that the only ministry comes from here. More ministry is done in the workplace and out with people one-on-one than's ever done behind the pulpit. That's where we need to realize that if you understand who you are in Christ, you can walk confidently. And you got to remember, he did not make you who you are, better term. He made you who you are to serve, to shine, to show people, or maybe we should say it this way, to influence others of his glory and his salvation. Now, if you get on social media, which I don't, I've been told about it because I hate the mess. I really hate it now. But they got these people that call influencers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I know all you younger people do. Us that are a little older, we may not understand all that. But you know what they're doing? They do all that because it makes them money, because the more hits they get, the more money they make. But he saved us to influence others, and you know what we get out of it? The joy of knowing that we save somebody from the pits of hell. That's the joy we get out of it. We need to remember who we are. And we also need to remember that our identity is secure. Everything in the world changes. Everything around you changes. Your situation changes. Health changes. Finances change. Relationships can change. But our identity in Christ remains the same. It is secure. You know, we have, a lot of you do your banking and different things through the internet, and you have a password and so forth and so on. And one of the things that you're always concerned about is security, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, our identity in Christ, it is for sure. We are secure. Paul said it like this in Romans 8:38. You all know it. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is telling us, and it names about anything that you want to name, that nothing, trouble, persecution, hardship, failure, attacks, nothing can separate us. Our identity is in Christ. The enemy can attack, trials can come, storms can rage, but our position remains secure. We're a child of God. We're redeemed. We're loved. We're chosen. We're called. Now, you know, I can take this $20 bill. Well, I thought I had a 20. Yeah, there it is. Now, you know what? I can wad that thing up. I can throw it on the ground and step on it. I'll rub it in the dirt. But you know what? Its value remains the same, no matter. The value remains the same. Likewise, circumstances does not change anything. What the enemy says doesn't change anything. Our value in God's eyes remains the same because we have been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gideon saw himself as weak. God saw him as a warrior. He saw himself insufficient. God saw him as the deliverer. He saw his limitations. God saw the possibilities. The difference was the identity. God is saying the same thing to us tonight. You're not weak. God says you're strong. You're not defeated. God says you're more than a conqueror. You're not forgotten. God says you're chosen. You may feel alone, but God says, I'm with you. Don't let anything else tell you who you are. Don't let your past, don't let the present, don't let the enemy. Remember, only God can tell you who you are. And he says, you're my child. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You are called. You have a purpose. And you are mine. And because you are God's chosen one, and you have his power, you can face tomorrow with confidence. Heavenly Father, I just try to remind these people, just for a few minutes, who they are in Christ. They know it. They've studied it. But sometimes, Father, we just need to be reminded. And I thank you now, in the name of Jesus, that all of us will take heart and know who we are in Christ. when enemy comes to attack us, we remember who we are, and we immediately quote the word to him. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody stand, please. I trust you. God, I know you all know about being in Christ, but, you know, we need to be reminded all the time. Hello. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. Hey, if you happen to be with us tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve him, but then you've turned your back and you've walked away and you need to come back to him. He never will leave you, but you can leave him. So, if that's you, the ladies, prayer people's here, the men over here, as we're dismissed, you come down here and they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, for anything, you come down here and the prayer warriors that are here to pray with you in the name of Jesus. Sunday morning right here, come expecting, come believing, turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I know who I am. Do you know who you are? God bless you. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now.